and welcome to Speaking with Carl Thornton Jr., where you are definitely in time for another edition of Spiritual Perspectives as we focus on love. And this is the way we're doing it right now. I want us to ask the question, how are we doing? How are we doing? Those of us who say we love God, those of us who say we are imitating Christ Jesus, how are we doing? When we see what is going on all around us, decisions made by political leaders, business leaders, religious leaders, you name it, that truly do good for many, how do we respond inwardly to those decisions? How do we respond verbally to those decisions? When our leaders are making decisions that hurt many people, how do we respond? Do we applaud those decisions? How do we respond? I want you to hear this song by Jackie Velasquez. I'm going to play a little bit of it for you now. And we'll be playing the song throughout the hour. I want you to listen to the words as she sings in behalf of God, as she sings about the lonely. Listen to this song. It is entitled, God Loves You. Think about that, ladies and gentlemen. When you're lost and lonely, can you imagine how many times we have felt alone, lonely, even while in a crowd of people, wherever that crowd may have been? Lost and lonely, 30 years old, 50 years old, 10 people around us, 50 people around us, and we feel all alone. Can you imagine being a child, 5 years old, who has just been torn away from your parents, taken to who knows where? You have no idea where you've been taken. No idea in your little mind of when, if ever, you'll be reunited with your parents, just tormented with the terror of having been torn away from your parents. Your parents, the parents trying to cope with the torment of having had their children torn away from them. Their children who came from their bodies and their souls, having some of their own soul, their personality, their body in them, in the children. And having had their precious children torn away from them. The many, many people all across America who saw the character of the man who would make that kind of behavior, that kind of activity, policy, who saw the character of the man during the campaign and still insisted, this is the kind of person we want to lead our nation. Far beyond the understanding, there's a hand that leads. If you believe, through the darkness, see the light, remember God. This is so important that I share this. Those of you who may be listening, who may have gone through and many of you still going through the torment of having been torn away from your family members, your family having been torn away from you ruthlessly, maliciously, unconscionably. I want you to know that even though this nation is called a Christian nation, I want you to please avoid blaming God for that terrible, terrible act that was perpetrated upon the many, many, many of you. Saints of God, remember, this isn't over yet. We have a president who so many have applauded for being who he is and for taking the stands that he takes, making life much more miserable for people of color who are citizens of America, making life much more miserable for the poor who are amongst the citizenry of America. And they applaud, applaud, applaud. And now this. He was giving us a window into his heart, giving us a window into who he is during the campaign from the very beginning. A man campaigning for president and using hatred and discord as two of his major campaign platforms, dividing the nation while running for president, encouraging citizens of America to harm other citizens of America simply because some disagreed with his worldview. Some disagreed with his approach to, as he would put it, making America great again. And now this. They applauded our president, Donald Trump, choosing those justices for the court systems who would uphold laws intended to make life miserable for people of color. Applauded that, and still do. Applauded upholding an unjust judicial system, system of so-called justice. One of the main reasons that so many, including churchgoers, so many who purport to be imitators of Christ, wanted Donald Trump to win the presidency. And so many got what they wanted so much. And now this. How are we doing? And there's no need to make excuses by saying, well, look, he's still early in the presidency. And for those who love to say, hey, look, he's born again now. We got him saved. And he's still young in the Lord. You didn't make excuses. You didn't find alibis. You didn't come up with reasons to dismiss or minimize any decisions made by President Obama that you didn't like. Don't be hypocrites. Or I should say, stop being hypocrites by coming to the rescue of President Donald Trump. You lambasted President Obama. And now you circle the wagons around President Donald Trump when it's obvious that he is about destruction. A president who perpetrated a meet them at the border mentality, wherein families arriving at the Mexican border to cross over into America for a better life were instead met at the border, war having been declared on them, families torn apart, devastated, And the vast majority of those families, despite the fact that President Trump has changed his policy, isn't it interesting? He issued executive orders, so many executive orders, to reverse decisions made by President Obama that were helping our climate, helping us have cleaner water, cleaner air, cleaner land, a cleaner earth, automobiles that would be much more efficient in the use of the gasolines. So many executive orders issued by President Trump to shape America according to his vision for this country, for us, all of us. Because we all have to breathe the air, whether it is clean or contaminated. We all have to drink the water, whether it is clean or contaminated. Don't get me wrong. I'm fully aware of the fact that people are already working to make sure that people who have plenty of money will be able to keep buying clean water. And the people who will be left with the dirty, contaminated water will be the have-nots. I'm fully aware of that. And I'm also fully aware of the fact that when the many amongst we the people find themselves in that predicament, amongst the have-nots who cannot access clean water, are in that position, they'll be scapegoating and blaming everyone except the folks who they helped put in the office who will have brought about that situation. Just like they want to blame everybody except themselves when the leaders who they made sure could have their way took this country into the Great Recession that devastated millions. How are we doing? When it comes to assessing and evaluating, critically evaluating our own decisions, how are we doing? Many of us keep evaluating and we're asking ourselves, we're asking others, how are we doing with the decision-making process that we've been going through for years, decades? How are we doing when it comes to the decisions that were made with regards to this job, that job, this decision about school, that decision about school, this decision that would impact the family, that decision that would impact the family, this decision that would have an impact on hundreds of millions of American citizens, and tens of thousands at the least of human beings who want to try to find a better life, escaping the rampant, ongoing killing of innocent civilians in this country or that country, these countries, those countries. Various reasons that people are, as one friend of mine put it, running from home. Why are they running from home? And we're not just talking about children 10 and 15 years old. We're talking about people in their 20s, their 30s, their 50s. Why are they running away from home? What is going on at home that would motivate them to risk their lives? Some parents, so desperate to help their children live a better life that they send their children to another country alone to get them away from where they are in hopes of sending them to something much better. What is going on at home that would cause these parents to become so desperate? And in order to show the world the compassion of Christ, we have so many churchgoers who made sure that they did their part to put into office, to put in the White House, and other political leaders across the Congress who would say, no. It's not just about compassion. It's not just about compassion. It is also about justice. But very often, justice is associated with compassion too. How are we doing? How are we doing? Hosea chapter 12, verse 6 says, "But you must return to your God. Maintain love and justice." And many of you heard me when for several weeks I talked about justice, and I mentioned how justice has a punitive element to it, a punitive aspect of it, but justice also has a compassionate aspect of it. We have so many people who have such a hard-hearted disposition that shapes their mindset and their thought process when it comes to justice. You must return to your God, maintain love and justice, and wait for your God always. How are we doing when it comes to showing the love of God? And I know a lot of people say, listen, you want all these immigrants over here and they keep taking our jobs. We can't make any money. Our income is kept low. You need to stop being dishonest. Stop scapegoating. Scapegoating and dishonesty often go hand in hand. First of all, again, let's recall that for years, while some across America were blaming immigrants for doing some of the super low wage jobs, backbreaking jobs, that many American citizens would not do. And they're claiming they keep taking our jobs, they're taking all of our jobs. Let's remember that one of the jobs that many immigrants take on is the picking of our crops and fruits and things in our orchards and our fields. And they're able to get those jobs because so many American citizens refuse to take on those jobs. And remember that when much of the immigration policy kicked in and immigrants were being rounded up and locked up, sent out of the country, a lot of the farmers lost their workers, their laborers, and as a result, many of them had their food dying on the vine because American citizens who complained about immigrants taking their jobs still would not say, hey, you know what? I wouldn't take these jobs before, but I'm going to take them now. They wouldn't do that. They continue to complain about immigrants having taken their jobs, and they let the food die on the vine. The crops die where they were. Their income not high enough to keep up with the cost of living, and they blame immigrants and other politicians who try to get the minimum wage up. And they keep voting for the politicians who support keeping minimum wage down. How are we doing when it comes to taking responsibility for our contribution to our own pain?